call in the show by dialing 248-557-3300. And now, Radio Bolivy.
And good morning and welcome to Radio Bolivy. This is Ray Hanania here at WNZK AM 690. We're having a little trouble with Ali Yunus getting him on the line. He's out in Washington, D.C., but we'll keep trying. If not, we'll get him on later, or maybe he can call in. This morning, actually, we're going to talk with one of our guests who's going to help us explain this boycott that's taking place regarding McDonald's. Apparently, according to some people, boycott was promoting that it was offering halal foods, and turns out that maybe it wasn't halal after all. So I don't know, that would be upsetting, I guess. I can understand people who'd be upset claiming that they were getting halal food and it wasn't halal. You know, that's a no-no, McDonald's. So I don't know what they're thinking or why they do that. But we're going to be waiting for Paul Levy to call in, and he's the attorney for one of the groups out there. They got a big presence on Facebook, too. And you might want to check them out. You just look up Dearborn Social Network or Dearborn Area Community Members. They got a huge network, and they've really been pushing the boycott. And we'll also have one of the activists kind of talking about that. A little bit later, we'll have we'll ask callers to talk about their reaction to the Obama visit to Israel and Palestine. You know, it's one of those things. I mean, personally, I always have hope, even when I don't have hope. It's really depressing, you know, because the Arabs and Israelis are like on a roller coaster, an emotional roller coaster. We're exploited. We're taken advantage of. People don't care about us. Doesn't matter what we do. And, you know, the politicians just going to screw up the way they always do on all sides. So we get upset, we get happy, it doesn't really matter. It's really kind of depressing. And, you know, we'll see if we can get some of the people who are listening out there to share in and tell us what they think. I'm going to try Ali Yunus one more time. And it's always rough to do this when you're adding somebody. Man, I hate the technology here. It's really too complicated. It used to be simple. I don't know. Come on, people. I'm going to add contact, make a contact. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. 248-557-3300. We're waiting for our first guest to call in, so it's okay. But in the meantime, if you have a thought about the McDonald's boycott, call us and tell us what's going on, because really, it was a little confusing. I wasn't sure, because maybe I got into the story a little after the fact, but I would be pretty upset. And they made a good point. They said, what do you think would happen if a McDonald's advertised that they were offering kosher food? And I know they do, because there are some McDonald's in Chicago that offer kosher food. Wouldn't it be upsetting if you found out that the food was not kosher? That would be kind of disturbing, wouldn't it? That'd be angry. I'd be upset, wouldn't you? 248-557-3300. So we're just waiting for our first guest to call. Radio Bolivy is brought to you by Ziad Brothers Importing at Ziad.com. Prominent Michigan accident attorney Jumana K. Ruse at JumanaKRuse.com. Jake's Candy, 248-747-2223. Icon Computers with Jamal Bazzi at MyIconComputers.com. Those are the people that help us broadcast Radio Bolivy every Friday from 8 until 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock if you're in Chicago. And you can always listen to us online at RadioBolivy.com. A couple weeks, we'll be broadcasting live from Dandana TV and MLive Satellite TV. And we're working out all of the technology. We got the cameras. We got the soundboard. I'm telling you, got wires all over. I should post a picture of this place on Facebook. of course, my iPhone just decided it was going to update itself. I'm going to, jeez, what is the problem with technology? It's like they've taken out the whole decision-making process out of our minds. We can't even make decisions. The technology is running everything. Don't you have that problem when you're working with your websites, let's say Google, and all of a sudden these toolbars appear, and you go, where did this toolbar come from? And all those toolbars, all they do is eat the space on your computer screen, the real estate there. All right, we have Paul Levy on the line who can help us understand what the chronology and the issues are with this problem regarding McDonald's in Detroit. Paul, are you on the line?
I'm here.
Hey, Paul. Listen, first of all, thank you for joining us this morning. I was doing some research and for news stories, and one of the ones I came across, and I was really kind of surprised at because I think this is a pretty big story, is that there's apparently a McDonald's that was promoting the fact that it was offering halal food, and it turns out, or at least it's alleged that it isn't halal food. That would be very upsetting to me. And I'm not even Muslim. I'm Christian. But it's the idea of you don't want to be misled. What's the story? Tell us, how did it start? What's the story? And where are we at with it?
Well, the claim is, and from everything I've been able to determine, there's at least some fire in this smoke. The claim is that a particular McDonald's in Dearborn was advertising that its chicken products were halal, and maybe all of its meat products, but at least its McNuggets, chicken sandwiches, and so forth used halal chicken. And somehow it was figured out that at least at some points in time, they were selling haram meat instead.
So it was non-halal. Haram meaning bad, you know, sinful in Arabic, and that's a colloquial word that they use, but basically they felt the meat wasn't.
I confess, you know, my name is Levy.
That's all right.
You know, lots of people eat who are kosher eat halal meat, so I'm familiar with it in that sense. But
my wife is kosher, and she's Jewish, and so is my son. I'm Christian Palestinian, but when somebody says halal, I feel comfortable that I know the food is, you know, processed in a certain way. Same way with kosher. The idea is that you're telling consumers that the food is, you know, produced in a very specific way, and even though I'm not Jewish or Muslim, I would feel comfortable. I would be upset if they told me it was kosher or it was halal and there was some question that it wasn't. But there was also the other issue. I guess some of the local residents in Detroit started to complain and started the boycott, and then they got into a legal tussle. Did a judge actually try to stop them from boycotting? Go ahead.
Somebody who was a victim of this false advertising found out about it and hired a lawyer. The lawyer figured, you know, this is a problem that just doesn't affect Mr. Ahmed Ahmed. It's a problem that affected other people. And so he filed a lawsuit for false advertising, not only on behalf of Mr. Ahmed, but as a class action. And class actions are a really important tool for people who have claims that are small enough that it's just not economical to hire a lawyer to do the claim individually. But if you can aggregate a bunch of claims, you can get enough damages at stake that it's worth processing the case through the legal system, which is an expensive way to solve your problem, but sometimes a necessary one. So on the one hand, the class action process is really important. On the other hand, sometimes, and at Public Citizen we see this a bunch, sometimes the process is abused. The lawyer gets into the case and he finds out it's too hard. Sometimes you even have lawyers who want to get paid for not doing much work. And on the other hand, you have really sophisticated defendants sometimes. And I want to make clear, I'm not saying this happened here. Sometimes you have defendants who use the class action device to extinguish the claims, to perfectly valid claims of a lot of people for not very much in payment. And then you have the problem that a judge in whose courtroom the case has to be litigated, you know, some judges love to go to trial because that's, you know, where they show their work the best and where they perform their most important work. And some judges hate to go to trial. So when you have a class action settlement and the plaintiff's lawyers and McDonald's lawyers worked out a settlement in this case, sometimes these settlements are collusive. And when somebody objects to the settlement, and that's a really important process, too, for protecting consumers, everybody who's already in the case hates the interloper because they're messing up a good thing that they have going. And sometimes the interloper gets bullied. And from our perspective, what happened here is sort of a classic case of bullying. The settlement of the class action was not for the payment of damages to the victims of the false advertising. The settlement of the class action was what's called a Cypre settlement, donations to charity instead of damages to the victim. And sometimes, you know, Cypre ends up being the best way to resolve class actions.
Right.
But Majid Mughni, who is a lawyer in your community, objected. You know, for good reasons or bad reasons, we really haven't come to any conclusions about who's right about...
I mean, I'll tell you, this thing was very complicated, and I'm thinking, okay, why am I having a hard time understanding? I've been a journalist for 30 years, and I'll tell you, again, you are dealing with issues that are common, they happen all the time, and that's not to cast aspersions in any direction, but even just trying to understand it was very complicated.
I understand. So in any event, so Mr. Mughni objected, and, you know, back in the day, he might have gone down to the courthouse and walked around with a sign, but this is, you know, the 21st century, and so he used a Facebook page to rally community opposition, and the parties...
And that seems like a normal thing that one might do. I mean, that in today's world, social media is the place where, right, that you protest probably more than even in person in front of a courthouse. And is that what happened in this case?
The parties went to the judge and said, he's getting in the way of our settlement. And the judge said, you're getting in the way of the settlement in my courtroom. And she issued what was a, what we call... in the legal profession, a prior restraint. It's used in the journalistic profession, too. Prior restraint of amazing breadth, which basically forbade him from making any public statements about the lawsuit whatsoever.
Wow.
And that's why we and the American Civil Liberties Union of Michigan got involved. We represented him in opposition to the prior restraint. Eventually... You know, nobody was willing to admit they'd made a mistake in the first place. And, you know, sometimes when you make a mistake, you just have to own up to it. Everybody told the judge, oh, no, you did the right thing issuing the prior restraint. But we agree that maybe it's time to take the prior restraint down. And the judge said, I did the right thing all along, but I'm going to take the prior restraint down so you don't go to appeals and make me look bad.
Wow. And you know what? It's things like this that make stories bigger than they are. I mean, it sounds like it was a simple case where the attorney... So you're representing Majid.
I'm representing Majid, and only on the issue of his First Amendment right to criticize.
So to be able to say he didn't like the agreement.
That's right. We've taken no position on whether it's a good agreement or a bad agreement. Now that... He is free to speak again. He is speaking. He's expressing his views. I assume that McDonald's and the Jaffer and Maddy law firm will be expressing their own views. And, you know, the public will look at what both sides have to say and they'll decide. And Matt.
Yeah, and look, listen, in lawsuits, it happens all the time. But for me, it's... I'm uninvolved, but except from the standpoint that it's one of those issues that I think is really important. And did the class action suit, or were you able to look at the class action suit and determine why they did what they did, or how what happened? I mean, was it a case that they felt that they satisfied the people that filed the original class action suit, that the judge felt that, okay, this is a good settlement?
Well, the judge was plainly willing to sign off on the settlement. The process is that a judge issues what's called preliminary approval, and then the issue is put out for the members of the class to sort of comment, decide, you know, do we want to opt out of the class and preserve our own right to sue McDonald's? And one of the, I think the thing that upset them the most was that Mugni was encouraging people to opt out of the class and preserve their right to sue.
And what's wrong with that, though? I mean, isn't that his right to go against what the, I mean, to me it would seem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Although we have not taken any position on the settlement, but two things that are going on here that, you know, raise my hackles and make me suspicious. The first is that the plaintiff's lawyer, Mr. Duckalala, who seems like a perfectly nice fellow, has promised me time and again that he was going to explain to me why the settlement that he reached was a good settlement. And he's never been willing to actually give me the details. And so that kind of makes you suspicious when somebody, you know, I have this list which shows the truth of what I'm saying, but, you know, the list always stays in his hand waving in the air, but you never.
So you never see it.
You know, that tends to make you suspicious.
Yeah, that
now,
would raise some issues.
Decided, you know, I don't really care what Levy thinks. You know, I care what the community in Dearborn thinks, and that's fine. But that makes me suspicious. And the other thing is that they keep bullying the critics. And why would you bully the critic unless you were afraid of what the critic had to say?
Right. I agree with that suspicion.
Here.
Yeah, I agree that, listen, in a fair world, the one group would have protested, gone to court, got their decision, but the other group, I think they have a right to challenge anything. I mean, even when I write columns, I mean, people challenge me. As long as they keep it respectful, you can deal with challenges. Do you think that this has got, did it get out of hand at all or get very angry, or is it just a typical, you know, legal fight that people might
encounter? Angry at each other. The misuse of the courts, and, you know, the judge is supposed to be there to protect people like Mr. Mugni, who is a member of the class.
Who is the judge again?
The judge is Kathleen McDonald. She's been on the bench for a long time, and in my opinion, she didn't do her job here. She is supposed to stand between the people who want the class action and the defendants and the members, and protect the members of the class against possible abuses, and she failed to do her job.
Now I'm gonna make a guess about
a judge who stands with the existing parties and tries to crush opposition is a judge who has forgotten what her job is.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a stab at saying that, and again I don't understand this firsthand, but Paul, you. By the way, just for our listeners, we have Paul Levy on. He's with the. Are you with the ACLU?
Well,
or?
I'm actually with Public Citizen, which is a public interest consumer advocacy organization founded by another Christian of Lebanese origin, in that case, Ralph Nader.
Oh, wow. So, and I think that's phenomenal that you would do this because, you know, whether you agree or disagree with the bigger issue, the point is that I agree with the principle that everybody's voice should be heard, regardless of how the system comes down.
And one of the things that Ralph has always, I mean, Ralph has not been the president of Public Citizen for really over 30 years. He's the founder, and one of the things that Ralph Nader has always stood for is citizen involvement.
You want people to be involved,
encourages
right?
citizens to get involved, and he thinks you ought to protect people who get involved and speak out, and that's why we are in this case. It's because you have a consumer. The consumer is right or wrong, but the consumer has a right to criticize the business and the plaintiffs and the judge.
Now, tell me if I and again, maybe you can or can't, but tell me if I'm wrong with this assessment, just based on what I've read online, listening to you, and now I do. By the way, Paul, I understand the what happened much better. It was very hard to figure out what was going on here, but it seemed so interesting that I thought, you know, we should explore this because it impacts so many people. But my guess is that someone discovered, or at least alleged, that the food was not halal, or there had been a lapse in whether all, you know, the food during a certain period was or wasn't halal. They started protesting against McDonald's. They got into the class action suit with McDonald's. The judge then steps in and figures, okay, this is pretty bad. This is Detroit, you know, or the Dearborn area, where there are a lot of Muslims and non-Muslim Arabs. And, you know, I just want to see this resolved. McDonald's has been a pretty good, you know, corporate company, I mean, overall, although personally, I don't want to eat their food because I think it's fattening and whatever, but that's a side issue.
So I haven't eaten in McDonald's since my kids got too old for Happy Meals.
Well, I used to be a reporter with the Chicago Sun-Times, and one of my mentors was a reporter who started at the Detroit Free Press, Harry Golden Jr., back in the 50s, and he came to Chicago, and Harry Golden would always say to me, "Ray, I'm never going to eat at McDonald's because who knows, I could die there," and in my obit would always say forever that Harry Golden Jr., comma, who died at a McDonald's, comma, blah, blah, blah. So I always said, you know, Harry, those are good words. I don't want to die at any place I don't want to have embedded in my obit. But I think the judge probably figured, okay, let's resolve this. Let's just get it out of the way. Seemed like everybody was happy. What I don't understand is the effort to silence somebody who disagreed. That really kind of overstepped the bounds, and I'm really glad that you were able to stand up for Majid and defend his right to disagree with what was done.
Well, yes, and that's, you know, one of the things that Public Citizen is here to do. We're always looking for situations, and, you know, Majid isn't paying us. This is a completely pro bono representation on our part. He paid my travel expenses to come to Detroit. But this is protecting consumers' right to speak out is something that Public Citizen does.
Yeah, and it does explain the issue a lot more. I think Majid was going to call in. I don't know if he will or not. But the number, in case you're out there, people, is 248-557-3300. Paul, is there a website, by the way, for your group? I mean, to give you a little plug there, because that...
Pleased that you didn't make me butt in and give it myself.
Oh, no. Listen, I want it. The whole point of the radio show is to help people like you, and it sounds like a good agency.
www.citizen.org.
That is a good domain name. How did you must have grabbed that a long time ago.
We were early. We had an IT guy who realized that we needed a domain name, and we got it early.
That's a huge one.
We didn't get citizen.com, too. I think it's a bank that has that one. Citizen
right.
Bank, but yes.
So yours is www.citizen.com.
You can look for the litigation group website. I'm part of the litigation group. And we actually have a page where we talk about, you know, what rights people have online and what the limits are of what people can do online.
All right. Listen, Paul, I want to thank you. It's so kind of you to take a moment and help explain this circumstance. And, I mean, it does, now I understand it a lot better. Everybody, by the way, should always have a PR person to explain things. Because, no criticism of lawyers or activists, but I know lawyers and dealing with media people, you know, you got to walk the line real straight and narrow, and you hope people understand what's being said sometimes. And you're constrained. You know, you're not allowed to, you know, say things in different ways. You got to do it by the dot the I's, cross the T's, and that could make for complex things.
Actually, lawyers have First Amendment rights, too. A lot of people, and I think a lot of judges don't appreciate it. The judge didn't appreciate that even though Majid Mughni is a lawyer, he has First Amendment rights too.
Yeah, no, I agree. To me, that is the most important thing, and I applaud you for standing up for that right. As far as the issue of the halal, I know that that's kind of a separate issue, but if he disagreed with what was done, he had a right to express himself. I wonder if there are people out there that agree or disagree. If you want to call in, it's 248-557-3300. Paul, anything else you want to mention or point out, or you can plug the website again.
I had a chance to help clarify. You know, I recognize, you know, the legal world can sometimes be pretty opaque to members of the public, and that's too bad.
I think my worst moment as a reporter was when I covered Chicago City Hall. Now, politics is easy to understand. You call somebody a name, they call you a name. It just goes back and forth. But the law, I remember the editor called me and he said, Ray, look, our federal reporter is out. I need somebody really bad to cover a Supreme Court ruling. Could you go there and cover it? I'm going, yeah, this should be easy, right? You figure the law is going to be simple. So I went to the Supreme Court. I got the ruling. And as I read through it, there were like triple, quadruple negatives in every sentence. And by the time I read it, the next day, the Chicago Sun-Times said, case rejected, that which was my story, and the Chicago Tribune said, case approved, which was the accurate story. And I guess my problem was I couldn't properly follow the negatives that canceled each other out to come to the conclusion. And I was just shaking my head, and I said to the editor, please never send me to a court case again. I just don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, it's harder and harder, obviously, as the economics of the media gets tougher. But many papers will have a legal reporter who specializes in covering the courthouse. And
yeah, we had when he was sick, and they threw me in. And I'll never do that again. Paul, give us your website one more time and before we let you go and thank
you. Citizen.org.
All right, Paul Levy, our guest. Paul, thank you so much for joining us this
morning.
Call
on me anytime.
All right, we appreciate
it. Bye-bye.
That was Paul Levy with Citizens Lawyer Group that helps public citizens stand up for their rights. And in this case, it involved the McDonald's that allegedly, served food that it claimed was halal and it wasn't halal, and it went to the courts, and in a class action suit, the issue was resolved, and McDonald's apparently donated money to a charity. But there were some people that didn't agree and didn't like the agreement, and not someone that would have gotten any money, but somebody that felt that it wasn't enough, that it's horrible. And they started a Facebook page, and the judge got upset, I guess, or the attorneys representing the class action suit got upset, and they got the judge to issue an order to prevent the activist Majid from expressing his views, which to me is just incredulous that they would do that. So the attorneys were able to kind of reverse that, and he's out there with his Facebook page. And if you want to look it up, it's I'll find it here right now. It's right on Facebook, and it's called... Yeah, no, I know. When you want stuff, it's not always there. Dearborn Area Community Members. There's a big posting there with a lot of people. And they're upset. I don't know. McDonald's may have thought they got through it, but I don't think they did. I think McDonald's still has some issues. And maybe they better address it instead of trying to silence somebody. Personally, I don't like to eat at McDonald's because I just don't like the food. But, hey, I got a 12-year-old, and he loves McDonald's, so what am I going to do? You know, it's just the way the world is. I ate McDonald's when I was a kid and worked at a Burger King. So our number, 248-557-3300, if you want to call. And we're going to take a quick break here at Radio Ballady just to kind of thank our sponsors and promote them. And when we come back, we can continue talking about the McDonald's problem in Dearborn, or we can talk about Barack Obama. What's your reaction to his speech? A lot of unhappy people. I always try to look for the positive, but in this case, it's not easy. So give us a buzz at 248-557-3300. I'm Ray Hanania here at Radio Ballady. We're going to be right back right after these messages.
Ziad Brand. Quality products from our family to yours. Ziad Brothers Importing offers the finest quality products, including brands like Sultan, Kraft, Nestle, Hook, Rico Picon, Donna, and many more. Ask your retailer to carry these fine products because you deserve the very best. For more information, visit our website at www.ziad.com. That's www.ziad.com. Ziad, quality products from our family to yours.
Jake's Candy, 2-for-$1 candy bags and $1 candy bags available. Wholesale and distribution. Jake's Candy has been satisfying the sweet tooth of thousands of people for over a decade. Now providing delivery service to Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, Ohio, as well as Rochester and Buffalo, New York, and New York City. For New York service, call Sale at 718-213-1264. Or for more information, call Jake's Candy at 248-747-2223. That's 248-747-2223.
It was my job to save people. Until one night, I was in a car accident. I couldn't work, and the insurance company, they fought me every step of the way. I didn't know what to do.
Call 866-YOUR-RIGHTS.
I'm Shumana K. Roos. I know what it's like to be refused your rights. When you call, my attorneys and I will fight to get you the compensation you deserve.
Jemana handled my medical benefits and lost wages, and she got me a settlement.
If you have been injured, call 866-YOUR-RIGHTS.
منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم. أفضل المنتجات الغذائية على الإطلاق. ماركات سلطان، كرافت، نسلي، بوك، ريجل بيكان، دانا، بالإضافة إلى مجموعة أكبر من المنتجات الغذائية التي تحبها تجدها في كافة المحلات. للمزيد من المعلومات قم بزيارة موقعنا زياد.com. منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم.
And welcome back to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania. Our number is 248-557-3300. That we were just talking about, that McDonald's halal lawsuit. That was filed originally, I think, in 2011, September 2nd, 2011. Ahmed purchased a McChicken sandwich from the Finley's-operated McDonald's location, which is at 13158 Ford Road in Dearborn. And apparently he didn't think it was halal. Now, I'm not sure exactly what the case was, but this case went on for another year, a little over a year and a half maybe, or just under a year and a half. And class action lawsuit was filed by the law firm of Jaffer and Mahdi Law Group. And they prevailed. They got McDonald's to, settle for $700,000. And it was to be divided and dispensed to the Huda Clinic, located in Detroit, the Arab American National Museum, and some to Ahmed, and then also to the attorneys to cover their attorney fees. It was made after all the parties in the lawsuit agreed that everything was done. However, Majid Mughrabi, I think, let me get his name here. I asked him to call if he wanted to. Majid Mughni, disagreed and started protesting against the settlement. And he's a lawyer, too. And apparently the judge censored him, basically said, you have no right to complain. And, of course, he does have a right to complain, and it seemed like, I don't know, maybe they just wanted this case to go away, and they ordered him to take down his Facebook page, I guess, and there are like 4,879 people on it. So Majid went out and got the attorney, Paul Levy, who worked for the Citizens Action Group that Ralph Nader set up. And they came in and defended his right to protest. And, in fact, his right to protest was upheld. Facebook page went back up. And I'll tell you, you got almost 5,000 people that agree with Majid that this is a real issue. I don't know. This probably not, it does come down to public relations, I think. Everything does come down to public relations. Because I'm sure that the attorneys, that were involved, the Jaffer and Mahdi Law Group, wanted to do what was best, for the client. The judge in the case probably wanted to do what was best. McDonald's You know, I mean, listen, I may not like their food, but I'm sure that overall they want to try to do what's best for the community. It did become one of those, it sure brought out a lot of racists, though, who were complaining that, you know, that McDonald's was surrendering to Sharia law. And I'm going, are you kidding me? So let's go to, listen, we have Majid Mughni on the line calling in. Hey, Majid, thank you for calling this morning. Great. Welcome to Radio Ballady.
Thank you for inviting me to be on your show. I mean, this is marvelous what you're doing for our community, bringing attention to a very important issue. And we appreciate you telling us what's happening, telling the community.
It was a complicated issue to understand, and Paul Levy did a great job explaining it. I mean, the bottom line is, Madge, you have a right to disagree when everybody agrees, and it turns out I don't think everybody agrees because you got a big following of people that think you have a strong case to make against McDonald's.
You know, our biggest problem with the lawsuit, you know, we don't mind, you know, the attorneys, Jaffer and Mehdi, making money on this case. That wasn't our problem. The problem we had was two issues. One, the settlement money. I mean, these attorneys, they were representing the entire class members.
Right. It was a class action suit.
Right, which means they work for the entire community, the entire class members that were involved. That means they have to do what's best for our community. And
right.
We had a problem with where the money was going. It was going to four units. $230,000 were going to the attorneys themselves, which is fine. $20,000 was going to the actual person who filed the lawsuit. $150,000 was going to the Arab American Museum, and the rest of the money, $275,000, the amount somewhere around that amount, $270,000,
right,
was going to a medical health center, not in Dearborn, but in Detroit. It doesn't serve people in Dearborn. It serves people in Detroit.
So was it?
Imagine serving people in Detroit, but those weren't the people that were injured.
Majid, let me ask you a question about the settlement. What was it, the way they handled the settlement, that upset you the most? That it didn't go to the people that were complaining? Was that your big complaint then?
That was our biggest gripe. And we put a post on there. You know, right after we found out that this money was going to the wrong people, it was. In a civilized society, when you file a lawsuit, the person that's injured gets the money. Don't
right.
file a lawsuit.
And that would be the customers who were Muslim or who believed that they were getting halal food from McDonald's.
Exactly.
They should have gotten it. Now, I imagine that the Jaffer Law Firm and the judge, what was the judge's name again?
Judge McDonald.
She must have been pretty shocked that not everybody was happy. And they probably were mad at you, you know, because you were, in their view, you were messing up, you know, their little neatly arranged effort to resolve this. McDonald's had to be really angry with you, too. And did they go out and get an order to prevent you from speaking? What was the order against you?
McDonald's attorneys were very wicked in this case. Not only did they get an order to stop me from broadcasting and telling the people this is a wrong settlement, it doesn't help our community, they went out, they got an order from the Judge McDonald, which literally said I had to remove every single post that was critical of the settlement, and I had to put a post up there that supported the settlement that was issued by the court.
Wow. They were ordering you to say something that you didn't agree with.
Absolutely.
Wow. And I've never heard of that. I mean, maybe in the Middle East, where the dictators are, you know, they tell you what to do. But this is America, right? I mean,
right.
You have a right to say, listen, I don't care if 100%, 99.9% of the people believe this way. You have the right to stand up and say, I disagree.
You know, in the order that was issued, I couldn't speak to any class members, which meant I couldn't talk to my kids.
Wow.
I couldn't talk to my wife, my sisters and brothers. I couldn't talk to my customers. I couldn't talk to anyone in the community. So for about 33 days, I was isolated from the entire world because if I violated a court order, I was headed to jail. The McDonald's attorneys warned me, you better get ready. We're sending you back for violating the court order.
Well, it sounds like McDonald's. I don't blame you then for the anger, because I have to tell you, on the Dearborn Area Community Member site, which has almost 5,000 people, there seems to be an anger directed at McDonald's, and not just because of the halal issue, but now I understand it. It seems that they were very heavy-handed at McDonald's.
You know, McDonald's attorneys have emails from them saying, you better go get your attorney. You've posted another post that takes down the order from the court. I mean, these people that literally took over our page for 33 days. If anyone attempted to post anything else on our Dearborn Area Community page, I wasn't in violation of the court order.
Wow. So someone else would post something, and they'd blame you.
I would be blamed.
That's ridiculous.
They'd file a motion to find me in contempt of court, which means this judge could have locked me up for up to 6 months with no right of appeal.
Now, Majid, go back and explain something, because, again, I know that this was an issue for a while, but I think what happened to you is the bigger story. You know, sometimes I understand food companies do their best. You know, if they were genuine, they make a mistake, they own up to it, they deal with it, they address it, they correct it. Then they go out of their way to do the right thing. It doesn't seem like McDonald's did that, but you started a Facebook page, then protesting the class action suit. Was that the same one, Dearborn Area Community Members?
Correct.
And then they came to you and said, boy, if there's any more postings like this, you're going to be held in contempt of court.
Absolutely.
You could go to jail.
Absolutely.
And you had to go and take down the posts that were critical of the deal?
I had to remove them.
Oh, my gosh.
In fact, I mean, our post was literally for an entire month. Not a single person could post anything on our page. It was taken over by McDonald's. I mean, the entire page. And I was silenced, and I felt exactly what you said. I did not feel like I was living in a free society in America. Because
it just seems like McDonald's really screwed up. They did the wrong thing. Majid Mughni is on the line with me. Our number is 248-557-3300. We're talking about this big, you know, really it's an embarrassment for McDonald's that they acted like this. Majid, I need to just take a break real quick. Can you hang on the phone line for a minute?
I will, yeah.
All right. My name is Ray Hanania. This is Radio Ballady. We broadcast every Friday at 8 o'clock. From 8 to 9 here at WNZK, AM 690, our number 248-557-3300, and our website is radioballady.com. Ali Yunus, my co-host, unfortunately couldn't make it this morning. We tried to get him on, but we'll have him on next week. We're going to take a quick break here at Radio Ballady, and when we come back, we'll continue talking with Majid Mughni about this really wrongful conduct by McDonald's. They really made a major PR blunder that I think is a classic mistake that people make. They think they win something, and they don't follow up with the responsibility to the public to make amends. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Ziad Brand. Quality products from our family to yours. Ziad Brothers Importing offers the finest quality products, including brands like Sultan, Kraft, Nestle, Hook, Rico Picon, Donna, and many more. Ask your retailer to carry these fine products because you deserve the very best. For more information, visit our website at www.ziad.com. That's www.ziad.com. Ziad, quality products from our family to yours.
The American Muslim Center works for the community. It establishes goodness, virtue, and develops relationships between the Muslim communities as well as regional and national non-Muslim communities. The American Muslim Center on Outer Drive in Dearborn. Call 313-565-9314 or visit AmericanMuslimCenter.org.
If you get into a car accident, how will you pick up the pieces when you can't work, when the bills pile up? Who will help you? Call 866-YOUR-RIGHTS.
I called Jemana. She took care of everything. My medical bill, lost wages, and even a large settlement.
I am Jumana Kiruz, and I assure you that my team will not stop until you get the most for your rights.
If you've been in a car accident, call Jumana. 866-YOUR-RIGHTS.
And welcome back to
منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم أفضل المنتجات الغذائية على الإطلاق ماركات سلطان كرافت نسلي بوك ريجل بيكان دانا بالإضافة إلى مجموعة أكبر من المنتجات الغذائية التي تحبها تجدها في كافة المحلات للمزيد من المعلومات قم بزيارة موقعنا زياد.com. منتجات زياد، من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم.
And welcome back to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hannania. Yeah. Our number 248-557-3300. It was a buzz. We're talking with Attorney Majid Mughni on the line with us about the McDonald's issue. So, Majid, you then got Paul Levy and his group, that Citizens Legal Group that Ralph Nader set up 30 years ago, which is great and ironic that it would come back. And you filed a suit then or responded to the censorship.
Paul,
go ahead.
Paul Levy was the white knight in this case. He really was a hero. He came in, he flew in from Washington, D.C., and he stood up for my freedom of speech as well as the freedom of speech of everyone in the community. I mean, he really put a stop to this unconstitutional order that silenced me and silenced the whole community. And not only did he do that, but he was able to reopen the period where people can object to this wrongful settlement. And now people have until April 8th to turn in an objection, I hope people do. And people
are
speaking up against this settlement. And if we work together, I think we can put a stop to the settlement as we've already derailed it. And our next step is to completely stop it and do what's right for the community. And that's give the money to people who deserve it, and those were the people who were injured in this case.
Let's go to the phone lines and welcome Jamal on the line, who's calling in from the Detroit, Metro Detroit region. Hey, Jamal, good morning.
Good morning, Gray, and good morning, Matt.
Matt.
Very important issue. You are always good, Ray. You bring in the important issue. Well, first of all, you know, forget about this community, forget about this BS. This is a case about the right of people, you know, to recover and to sue under the Constitution. Some people sue, you know, a judge make a decision. Okay, now there's another person with a right to object to what the judge or the jury, whatever, says. Now it becomes a case of civil rights and your right to discuss whatever it is. If this case is okay and the judge is confident about what she did and the other law firm confident about no problem for what they did, then why you didn't want to shut down Majid Mughni? The problem here is that, you know, and an open democracy like we claim we are, let the people talk. If there's nothing, why they are feeding Majid Mughni?
Yeah, no, you're right, Jamal. I appreciate the call again. I think you hit the nail right on the head. You know, whether I agree, I don't know enough about McDonald's to say that they were right or wrong, but it seems like McDonald's made a dumb move to tell, you know, Majid he can't talk. That's poor public relations. What McDonald's should have done was reached out to people and, you know, and said, listen, this is what we did. And it just sounds like they should have just, you know, went ahead with what they did and let Majid do what he wanted to do. Jamal, thank you for calling, though, all right?
Yeah, Ray, the problem is you can always appeal and go again. What Majid did to change it to appeal that it's his right.
Yes, I agree. Jamal, thank you. Let's go to another call, Majid. Edward is on the line. Let's see if Edward is still there. You're here. Oh, Edward dropped off. All right, well, we'll get him next time. Jamal, what's next? I mean, what are you urging people to do? Should they go to the Facebook page at Dearborn Area Community Members? I think that's the best way to look it up. Yeah, or is there another place where you want people to go?
Best way, people have until April 8th to turn in objections to the settlement. The more objections...
How do they turn in the objection?
Turn in objections, tell the court, send it, and they're on our page, send it to the court, let people know that this money should go to the people injured, and not to some organizations who have nothing to do with this lawsuit. You know, one thing that you mentioned and Jamal mentioned about McDonald's, This is a multi-billion-dollar corporation. They have 5,000 people on my Dearborn Area Community Members page. These guys can spend billions of dollars to speak against what I'm saying. They don't need to go to a judge and shut me down.
Yeah, they could respond. They have the right, in other words, to disagree with you also.
Right. I mean, the solution to a speech that you don't agree with, they said my speech was false and misleading. Well, the solution is to add more speech to speak up against my false and misleading words that I was saying.
Alleged, right. I mean, in other words, explain why they disagreed with you. But they didn't do that. They wanted to shut you up. And that upsets me more than anything because, you know, I don't know. I'll be in Dearborn next week, and I'm going to go buy that McDonald's and check it out and tell them how angry I am, too. Now, and I'm not even Muslim. I'm a Christian Palestinian. And I'm going to tell you what, because they treat us bad, Muslims and Christians. They look at us. We're exactly the same in the eyes of average Americans. And when they crack down on you, they're cracking down on me, too. Listen, Majid, any final thoughts or do you have a website where people should go or just the Facebook page?
Let me finish off by saying McDonald's, when they knew they caught themselves in a publicity nightmare, they went and hired another attorney from Washington, D.C., one of the best attorneys in the country who handled these kind of cases. And he basically told McDonald's, you guys goofed up. Let's go to the judge. Let's tell the judge, lift the injunction on Majid Moghni, file a motion, let him speak.
Smart guy, because all it does by shutting you up and or cracking down on you is to fuel the anger against McDonald's.
Right.
And it's really upsetting to me. We're hearing about it in Chicago, and we're upset about it here in Chicago. So, Majid, you did the right thing, and I'm glad things worked out for you. And where should they go again online if they want to follow up with
you? It's on our Dearborn Area Community Members Facebook page. But, you know, one other thing, Ray, is by silencing me, I had an audience of 4,800 people. They shut me up. I was front page, Free Press, front page, Dearborn Papers, USA Today, Forbes Magazine. I was on radio talk show host. I mean, these guys turned a small audience of...
Right, into a bigger one. Huge.
Person audience. I mean, you got college professors, law professors... mocking this judge. You got college students around the country saying what an embarrassment this is to our First Amendment. And I guess now it's turned not into a halal case, but a First Amendment case. And like you said, what an embarrassment for McDonald's.
Yeah. But Majid Moghni, thank you, Majid. And we're now dedicated followers of Dearborn Area Community Members. And we hope that we can bring up issues that are there on our radio show and work with you. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Honored to be on your show.
All right. Thanks, Majid. We'll have a podcast of this available online at radioballity.com. It is 53 minutes after the hour. We got a couple minutes if you want to call in and talk about Barack Obama's, I don't know, wait, we got a caller, Bassem, if he's still on the line. Let's see if Bassem's there. Hi, Bassem.
Hello?
Hey, Bassem, how are you? Thank you for calling and holding.
Oh, this is Osama. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Osama. Go ahead. That's all right.
This is off of the subject, but yesterday there was a sad incident that happened in Damascus. A renowned scholar was bombed at the masjid.
I saw that.
Given a lecture. Now, I personally knew this scholar.
You did? Wow. That's sad. It was, in fact, I just read the story about him being killed.
I used to attend his lectures back in the 80s when I was about 16, 17 years old. Let me tell you about this scholar. He never had a hate bone in his body.
Give us his name so that people know his name.
His name is Muhammad Saeed Ramadan al-Buti.
Yeah.
And all what he was saying, you know, a lot of people accuse him, the opposition accuse him for siding with Assad. I listened to his sermons every Friday for the past 2 years. Never once sided with Assad. All what he was saying, he said, let's sit down and talk.
You know what the problem is, Osama? We do have a lot of extremists, not just in the Middle East, but here in the United States.
Right.
They will not listen to discussion, no matter what it is. And turning to violence is the wrong thing. It's terrible. I just, I don't know. The extremists in our community are the greatest threat to us as a people. And it's too bad that they, small groups of extremists can hold the entire community hostage sometimes.
Exactly. And, you know, he died along with his grandson and about, I think,
it's terrible.
42 people at the time. I think the number is subject to increase. But it really hit home. I really loved that guy. He was not liked by most of the opposition. I don't want to accuse everyone, but
right.
He was always calling for to sit down and talk.
And maybe that's why they were upset with him.
You know, and I just wanted to, you know.
All right. Osama, listen, thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
All right, you're welcome. We only got a couple minutes left, but I'll tell you, I was deeply disappointed in Barack Obama's trip to the Middle East. I don't think it was genuine. He was there just to kind of suck up to the Israelis. Deep down, though, you know, I'm one of those guys that I just can't give up on hope because we're emotional, and I write about it in my column in the Saudi Gazette this weekend after listening to his speeches. I was a little disturbed by some of the things Obama said, and I'm going to write more, and there are a lot of Arabs that are angry with what Obama did. I mean, you know, he talked so much about how the Israelis suffered, but I don't think he really got into the details of how the Palestinians suffered. Somebody, I guess, yelled out and tried to get him to respond. What about Rachel Khoury? She was an American who was murdered by the Israelis, and there's never been justice there. You'd think that an American president going to Israel and Palestine would stand up for the rights of all Americans who have been killed, Israeli and by the Israelis and by the Palestinians. But it seems like the only people they care about are people who are killed by the Palestinians. Nobody seems to care about Americans who are killed by the Israelis. But still, I want to see an end to the conflict. And, you know, I know that there are a lot of Arabs and Palestinian activists, especially, who don't want this. Some of them for good reasons. They don't think it's right that they feel that Obama needs to be fair and we need to have justice. And not everybody agrees with compromise. It's a very complicated issue. But there are some extremists who don't care about anything and they want to fuel the conflict. They just hate. And I know what it's like to be the target of hate because some members of my own community, the Palestinian and Arab community, they hate me. Because, and it's funny, they attack me, and when I respond to them, then they start whining about, oh, look at what they said about me. Look what Ray Anania said about me. And I'm going, wait a minute, you were the one that wrote the nasty stuff about me. This one girl, Elise, I don't know, she wrote some nasty stuff about me. Somebody responded to her, I guess, in my defense, used my name, and then I get blamed for that. And then, of course, I go on and I read it, and I go, okay, some of it I agree with, some of it I don't. Maybe they got a little carried away, but it just seems like they're hypocrites, these fanatics and extremists. They don't want anything, and that's not good for our community. I still believe that for Palestinians, the future is compromise. There is no future without compromise. We are not going to have one state. One state will be apartheid. We're already apartheid-like in Israeli policies in the West Bank. We need to have our state, and we got to do everything we can to make that happen outside of violence and extremism and rejectionism. Rejectionism has never gotten us anything. Being rejectionist has been the worst thing. We're here today because of the fanatics, the extremists, and the rejectionists. I'm Ray Hanania. Have a great day. James, thank you so much. Go to RadioBallady.com for our podcast. We'll talk to you later. See you next Friday. Bye-bye, everybody.
We